This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And as you know, this show goes all over the world. And one thing before we start, I do want to give out the toll-free number if anyone wants to call in. The number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And that toll-free number goes all over the world, so anyone can call in from anywhere. But it seems to happen whenever I'm on the air, we get very few call-ins. I don't know if people are too involved in just listening or what, but that's all right. That is the number if you want to call in. Now, tonight we have a very special guest, an old friend of mine, Joanne Steele. And she's a psychic. But, you know, I know a lot of the word psychic has gotten a lot of bad press out there. And there are good ones and there are bad ones. And I think some of them really give the name a bad reputation. But I'm on the lecture circuit and I've been in this for many, many years. So I check a lot of these people out. And the only ones I will ever have on my show are the ones that I know are genuine. Joanne is one that I really know is the real thing. We've been friends for many years, and she lives up in New York on Long Island, and I don't think she minds me telling that. Okay, Joanne, you there?
Yes, I am, Gloria.
Okay. Well, let's start out. I would like you to tell us about your background.
Okay, I want to say thank you very much, Dolores, for having me on the radio show, and I'm very pleased to be a very good friend of yours. I have been doing, you've called it psychic. Yes, it is psychic, but I call it a spiritual medium.
A lot of people don't like the name psychic.
Right. It gives it's kind of like a different tone from psychic to medium.
Yeah.
Medium, I get to, what I do is I actually speak to people that have passed over to the next realm.
Uh-huh.
And I do that through them or through their guides. So when the person comes, I call them the sitter, and they talk to the people that have passed over. And I've been doing this for over 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the more I do it, the more powerful it becomes, the more the gift becomes more powerful.
Well, I think it's with anything, isn't it? Just practice, and, you know, the more you do it, we get better at anything.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one thing I like to make sure that the listeners understand is that every single person possesses the gift to become psychic or medium. It's like you said, it's almost as if you use it, if you keep using it and keep meditation and, you know, doing some yoga and doing exercises to train yourself, you also can become doing what I do. It's not something that I have as a special gift that just, you know, God or Jesus or whoever you want to believe gave it to me. Everyone can have it.
But, you know, people always think it's just the few that do this, and that always takes on that weird connotation, too, because they think only a very select few people can do it.
Right. Well, I would say that there is a select few only because we've decided to do this as work for, I consider it my job that I have to do as you do as an author. That's your job. This is my job to make sure that people understand that there is a life beyond the earth plane, that there is life beyond this one, and that I call this one Earth 101. It's our
uh-huh.
lessons.
Uh-huh.
We learn from everything that goes on this world, and we whatever we can learn, and which is what we're here to do, we take that and we benefit from that. And so I learn from the people that have passed over. That's how I learn my own lessons, and learn from those people that I can ask them questions, you know, of worldly, like questions like how the Sphinx was built or how this has happened or how come this, you know, because I can tune into different things. I can even go into the Akashic Records.
Are you able to do that also then?
Excuse me?
You're able to do that also by going into the Akashic Records?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I can do whatever the sitter wants to do. If they want to go in the past, that's fine. If they want to go in the future, that's fine. If they want to, you know, stay in the moment, which is I always feel the best, because I always feel that, you know, anybody could tell anybody they're going to have a red car or a blue car or, you know, this or that in the future. But it's nicer to solve the situation that they're in at the moment, because most people come to a medium for answers that are more like due to a death in the family, or maybe the worst ones, of course, are children.
Oh, yes.
You know, and they need answers to those questions. And so it's like really more immediate to the problem that they're coming for, other than, you know, you're gonna have $1 million in 10 years. You know, if that happens, it happens. But I rather stay focused really on the situation.
You know, there's a lot of people want to know, will I find a boyfriend? Will I find a husband or a job? Or, you know, they are thinking of the same mundane things, I guess,
yeah,
that everybody thinks about.
Right. And those questions can be answered, too.
Yeah.
You know, you can answer those are very easy questions to answer, you know, basically when I'm doing a reading, because I'm basically in a different, my body is in the room, but it's kind of like I almost leave spiritually. The body's there, but I'm out, so I let my body be, the voice is being taken over by like a higher entity.
Uh-huh.
So they could give the messages to them. I won't remember it basically by the next day or a few hours later.
That's the same thing when I'm doing my hypnosis sessions. I forget it usually by that evening or the next day. You can't keep all of that in your head.
Exactly. It's just too much. It's you know, and I wouldn't even probably recognize people that've come up to me in the mall and said, thank you so much for that reading. And I don't even recognize them, because most of the time my eyes are closed.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, spirits come through on the usually they segregate themselves. I don't know why, but they come through the left side, and higher spirits, as in angels and stuff, come through on the right side.
Oh, so what comes through on the left side, the guide?
The left side would be like the people that have passed over for
Consider. Their relatives or whoever they're wanting messages for?
Exactly. And usually what happens is I do a meditation ceremony, kind of like a secret ceremony, basically about an hour before people come, and I smudge the room and I do meditation and I quiet myself down, and people already come into the room, the spirits.
Uh-huh.
And I always tell them to kind of hang on, don't say anything too much because I won't remember it, so just wait. And they always seem to show up, and I'll talk to them for a few minutes, and then sometimes when they, like, I'll have four or five different people coming that night or all together,
yeah,
I go out into the living room, and I know who to take first, because the person the spirit that's in the room waiting for me has already said, no, take that person first, because I'm here waiting for that person.
Well, you don't allow the others in the room while you're doing a reading, then,
no,
do you?
There's only one person allowed in the room at a time. It's a personal reading.
Uh-huh.
I don't usually share it with nobody except for the person. If they choose to share it with anybody, that's their stuff.
Yeah, I have the same rules also. Because I feel a lot of personal things can happen, and it's a lot easier if there isn't anyone else in the
room.
That's
exactly right. And you know what? What I think people think when they first come here, oh, she won't get that, or she won't hit on that. And then when they start to tape it and I start hitting on stuff, then they shut the tape recorder off because they don't want people to hear it.
Yeah.
They don't realize that we would hit on it. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry that came through, but you have to realize that when you do come for a reading, you open yourself up, and everything that you know is inside is going to come out.
Yeah, that's what I get people that come for curiosity. They're not really, they say they don't have any problems, they're not looking for anything. But I tell them, if you're coming out of curiosity, you're going to get more than you bargained for.
You better believe that's exactly right.
Because
and I know,
a lot of personal stuff will come out. And I tell them the same thing. You know, I tape it and I say, this is yours. You listen to it first.
Exactly.
Then you decide if you want to share it with anyone. Because they think it's kind of like a parlor game, you know.
Right. But and I always tell that to people, too, when they come here. This is not a parlor game. This is not tricks. I'm not going to call on spirits to come in to have fun. This is serious business.
And that's why if they think they're coming to have fun, they're going to get a lot more information than they think.
And they're pretty well shocked. I remember doing a lecture at a hall, and, you know, people give me permission to do their reading. And this one girl who was with her mother, I had said, have you been pregnant, had a miscarriage or an abortion? And she said, no. And she had, you know, the meeting was over and she left, and then she felt so bad she came back and
yeah.
said to me, I have to tell you, I'm very sorry, but I did have a miscarriage. I did have an abortion.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to say it in front of my mother.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. That's the last thing you would want
exactly.
to say.
That's the whole thing, is that they don't, you know, you don't want people to hear that, and she didn't want her mother to know.
Uh-huh.
But that's what happens when you do group type of readings like that.
Uh-huh, but you never know what's going to come out.
You never know. I mean...
But it's hard for you to censor it, too, isn't it?
I can't, in a sense, censor it because of the fact that whatever comes out has to come out for the person. And I have no way. I can't lie. I'm not allowed to. I cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever has to come out has to come out, and it's for that person, and they know that because
mm-hmm.
it makes them have to think about whatever happens. I mean, I have done thousands of readings, and I know we have talked about several of them, and one.
Yeah, that's what I was wanting you to get into some of your cases.
Yeah.
One.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Doris.
Oh, can you hold that a minute? I would like you to tell about your life. You know, how did you get into this? How did you discover you could do this?
Well, I guess, you know, at the everything, you know, starts, I guess, with tragedy. At the age of 7, I was hit by a car, and that's when I guess my abilities started, but I was just a kid and I didn't know really what was going on. Basically, sometimes I was very frightened by the experience because I could see. If there was 4 people in the room, for me, there might have been 20 because
uh-huh.
I could see the people that have been passed over.
Yeah.
And that kind of scared me as a kid. But I would talk to my best friend, and, you know, I'm not making this a religious talk, but my best friend was Jesus, and he saved me from the car accident, and I talked to him basically all my life to this point, and he always was my friend, and I just talked to him. So he became like a guide to me. And
mm-hmm.
so he kind of said to me, basically, this is your job in life. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to help people to realize that there is an afterlife. And I said, no, I can't do that. That's too much pressure on me.
Yeah.
And he says, but that's your job. And I said, well, I have a job. I work, you know. And he says, well, you have to quit working and do this job. This is what you put on the planet to do.
Well,
and
you want to be normal.
Right. I wanted to be normal. Exactly. And I said, I can't quit my job. You know, you need the money. You need life. You need to live. And he says, so I ended up having a car accident that kind of put me on the disabled list for the rest of my life. And so I ended up having to do my readings.
Huh.
And so I said to Jesus, I said, why don't you just tell me? And he said, I did tell you. I told you to quit your job and do what I told you to do. And I have been basically on disability since 97. And I don't think I've done enough. I've traveled the world. I've done everything where I never suffered in basically money-wise. You know, God always took care of me. So I never had to worry about. I was worried about it in the beginning, but then realizing that you don't have to, because if you're doing the job that your path was supposed to be doing, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on,
I get the same thing. I get people coming to me who were in bad accidents, and then they find out it was for a reason. It changed their life.
Exactly.
Maybe they were going in the wrong direction, not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And it's like, you know, they're trying to get your attention to tell you what you're supposed to do. But if you don't listen,
then
I say you get hit up the side of the head, but you don't want to do that.
And I did get hit upside the head, and for one person that had the ability to listen, and I didn't, and so now I do. So when they do tell me to do stuff, I do it, you know. And
yeah, they got to get your attention one way or the other, and sometimes it's not a very nice way that they get your attention.
I didn't think it was a nice way, but he told me, he said, I told you a couple, I don't know how many times I told you, and I said, I know, but, you know. This is how I ended up coming across, and then, you know, I was married, had children, and my children felt it was very unfair to have a mother that had the ability to be a psychic, because I always said this at meetings, I always used to ground my children before they even came home, because I knew what they did wrong. You know, so they would come in the house and I'd be like, I told you not to go there. And they're like, that's not fair. That's not fair to have a mother that can see everything. And so I had to kind of disconnect myself from the children in that sense so that they can grow up, you know, having experienced whatever they had to experience.
Whatever is normal, you know.
Whatever, yeah, because it wasn't fair.
But also they wouldn't, I think after a while, they would stop trying to get away with something, wouldn't they?
Uh-huh, they were very bad liars. I said to them all the time, I said, you can't lie. I said, this is, you know, you can't do that with me because it's different. And they always thought it was unfair. And I says, well, you know, what are you going to do? I says, you know, that's what you get for having me as a mom. You picked it. So, and that's the thing is, like, you know, I said, this is lessons on this earth plane, and earth is an emotional planet. So
yeah, it is.
Learn.
That's what I tell people. It's a school, and we come here to learn emotions and limitations.
Right. Absolutely, and it's a very emotional planet, so we have to learn emotions. How to love, how to be compassionate, and one big thing is how to forgive, and
yes,
forgive ourselves.
Yes, that is the biggie. That's the biggest thing of all.
That's right.
That's one way to get rid of karma is to forgive, and it's very hard for a lot of people to do
and
that.
And to forgive yourself. You got to start with yourself, as you have to love yourself.
Yeah.
You have to forgive yourself, because there's many of things we've all done in our life that we feel guilty. Like some people have had abortions and they feel very guilty. But
yeah.
You see, they're judging themselves and they shouldn't. And they have to stop passing judgment on themselves and forgive themselves and love themselves. Because God loves you. You can love you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to love yourself fully and forgive every single person that has come into your life and done anything to cause you difficult harm or whatever. And I always tell people to write the list, make a list. And it doesn't take overnight. It could take your whole lifetime. And that's okay. But do it before you do pass over, because then when you get to the other side, then you got to do it over there.
Yeah, or come back and do it again.
Or come back and do it again. And when you come back to do it again, it gets worse.
Oh, yeah, because it's the same situation, same people.
That's right.
And people are saying, I don't want to do it again with them.
Exactly. I always use the example.
I say, you better work it out now, then.
That's right. I always use the example is if you're divorced, would you want to, do it again with your ex-husband or your ex-wife? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, then you got to learn to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, then in the next lifetime, if you choose to come back, maybe you can live a better life, or maybe you can stay where you are and live a better life, or go to another planet altogether.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, hopefully people believe that there is other existence on other places.
Yeah, I found that out.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know, so I think that that's important for people. The forgiveness and the love is very important, to love
yeah.
themselves.
Because yeah, I found that in my work with the past lives, sometimes they set up a pattern. And they've been coming back together for many, many lifetimes, and they're not making any progress.
That's exactly right.
That's what I tell them. You carry so much baggage and garbage around with you, you've got to get rid of it.
That's right. I always
tell people. Otherwise, you're going to come back again, do the same thing. But they say, I tell you, you've got to forgive that person, let him go, and tear up the contract.
Absolutely.
Because you make a contract when you come in.
That's right. And
but they'll say, oh, I can't forgive them. You don't know what they did to me.
But that's the thing, is that that soul that has done that bad or nasty deed actually has given you a blessing, because that soul is helping you to understand and to come to your greatness that you're supposed to be. So that soul has dedicated itself, even though it was a nasty soul, it dedicated itself to help your soul grow higher.
But it's
so
hard for them to see that when they're
very hard,
angry, you know, and there's a lot of resentment and a lot of bad stuff carried over.
Right. There's a lot of resentment because people don't understand the concept of the reasons that we're here, and that souls come in and we make these contracts before we even were born. And so this is all part, you know, part of the system. And if we learn to play the game, and I always say, if we learn to play the game of life and not just the regular board game, if we learn to play it, then we got it. You know, you just got to figure it out and learn how to play it.
It is just a game. That's what I've been told many times in my work. When the person goes through the death experience, they said, it was just a game.
That's right.
It was just a play on the stage. I can see all the actors getting ready to come on stage and do their lines. And they said, but when I was in the middle of it, it seemed so serious.
Exactly.
But it was just a game.
It is just, I mean, the passing, now I've been, you know, like I said, thousands of readings. And when the passing comes, and a lot of people are afraid of death, which they really shouldn't be, because in that moment of time, which lasts maybe a millisecond, you don't feel nothing. You don't feel nothing. You are passed and gone into the light, and taken. You know, you're with your loved ones, and that's it. It's done and over with.
Yeah, that's what I've talked about that on this show also. I found with that. But one thing I found, too, there is no God over there waiting to punish you.
Absolutely not. That's right. There is nobody.
I found is you punish yourself. You judge yourself.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You look at your life you just came through, and you judge yourself, and there's no harsher judge than you yourself.
That's exactly right.
And you make the decisions on what you're going to come back and what you're going to experience, because you know what you have done that you shouldn't.
Right.
So why wait that long? You can get rid of all that before you have to go over there.
That's the whole purpose of my life on this plane, is to try to get people to understand that why wait until you get there? Do it now. This way, when you get over there, you can have fun.
Yeah,
you can do and
then you don't have to worry about it. Oh, I'm going to have to come back and do it again.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many things over there that you could do. You could have a great time. I mean, I've seen people fishing. I've seen people, you know, reading books, being by the ocean, being by the flowers, being in the garden.
I've heard the colors are fantastic.
The colors are so beautiful. And the feeling is of just pure love. Of just pure love and peace. And you know, you don't have to spend any time with loved ones if you choose not to. People say to me, well, am I with them all the time? Well, are you with them all the time in real life? I mean, do you spend all your days with your friends and your mother and your father? No, you don't. So you're going to do basically what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
So if you choose to go swimming for the day, you know, you could do that. I mean, it's up to you. You make your own rules. There's nobody over there saying to you, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Uh-huh.
Not like it is over here. And of course,
I had one man who wrote me, and he was very heartbroken. His wife had died. And he was wanting to know, was his wife feeling as miserable as he was? You know, was she pining away for him and missing him and wanting him to come over there? And I told him, no, she's moved on with her life. There's a lot to do over there.
Absolutely. I mean,
like you said, they don't sit around grieving over what's happening here.
I mean, can you imagine being able to go and read all about your other lives in the Akashic Records, or go and do something that's amazing? And why would you, you know, that would be, to me, would be greater than pondering and being sad, where I would hope that people on the earth plane would be feeling good for people, especially when they're, I mean, I know people that have lost children are very sad, and but they're taken care of just as well as the older people. I mean, the older people are playing with the younger ones. They got sports, they got baseball, they occupy their time. All the animals are there because children love the animals. So everything is, they try to make it very peaceful for any age that comes over there. And but the parents, or you know, the loved ones, instead of crying for them, they should be, you know, praising them or saying prayers for them or saying loving things, because that helps them too on the other side.
I found out if you grieve too much, you hold the soul here, and
that
stops their progress.
It does. It really does hold them, and
it also stops your progress.
It's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they don't want you to grieve. They really honestly don't. They want you to go on with your life because there is a purpose still to your life.
Yes.
Even though people think there isn't, like the one incident I had with the little boy that passed away.
Yeah.
You know, his mother, of course, obviously, when the children pass away, it's very hard. But the thing was, it happened so fast for him because he was hit by a car that he didn't, he was kind of stuck in between the worlds. So he didn't know whether he was alive or passed over, because when he came to me, he kept telling me he was alive.
It happened at night?
It happened during the daytime. It was in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
And he was hit on a bicycle.
No, I mean when he was coming to you.
Oh, no, it was in the daytime.
When he started appearing to you.
Yeah, in the daytime. He would come all the time. And he was the first spirit that actually that came to me without kind of being invited, without, you know, he knew me because he went to school with my son.
Uh-huh.
And he had called the house the night before he passed away. So I wasn't sure if he was just trying to make a little contact there, but when he did pass away, he showed up, and what he would do to me is he would pinch me on the arm, and he would pull my hair. And when I went to talk to his mother, I found out that that's exactly where he would pinch his mother and pull his mother's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I made an agreement with him because he had just passed over, and I said, I cannot go to your mother's house and tell her you're alive. I can't do it. And he says, you have to. And I said, well, you're going to have to give me 3 weeks, because if I just can't do it now, you know, this is too much. So I said to him, if you can leave me alone for 3 weeks, I'll make the call on Sunday. And so for 3 weeks, he kind of stood there. And my friends, basically, that I hang out with are either psychic or medium. So they, when I would hang out with them, they said that there's a little boy next to you. So I knew that it was true, because sometimes you think, oh, you're questioning yourself. You say, is this real? Is this not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they agree that he was there. And so that Sunday came, and he was again appearing in the house. And he's like, you got to call. You got to call. You got to call. Now it was 4:00 in the afternoon. So finally I called her, and I made an appointment to go see her the next day, and I went over there. And before I went over there, the phone rang, and it was another girlfriend of mine. And I had said, listen, I can't speak right now. I'm going to go over to see the woman who lost their son on the Hampstead Turnpike. And they said, oh, my God, I live next to the woman that accidentally killed him.
Uh-huh.
And that was so weird in itself, because, you know,
maybe verification.
I haven't talked to these people in maybe months.
Uh-huh.
And now I go to find out that this is where next door is the woman who actually hit him. And she has 3 boys. And one of her boys was the same name as the boy that she accidentally had killed.
Mm.
So I had gone over the house, and I had prayed to God so much that day, because I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And so I went over there, and everything that came out was so true. And the father had called up and said, because men have a little bit more doubt than women. And once you get a man to believe, though, they're yours forever. Mm-hmm. And so this man, the father had called the house up and said, could you ask Joanne what was Nicholas feeding the deer in the Poconos? And I'd asked Nicholas, because he's standing right next to me, and he said, cookies. And I had said, cookies. And the father said, yes, it was cookies. And I had said to the mother, I said, listen, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm only here to tell you that Nicholas is okay, and that I know it's very hard for you to understand this, but he's okay, and that, you know, he's very worried about you because, you know, he's worried to, you know, that you're going to get very sick here. And
they're grieving too much, you mean?
They were grieving very too much, and it's been now almost, gosh, it has to be at least 10 years. And I'd had done about 5 or 6 readings on Donna over the years, and I remember the last time he would come in and say to me, would you call my mother up and tell her to come over here? I want to talk to her. And I'd call her up, and I said, you know, Donna, your son wants to talk to you. Come on over. And the last time he talked, he had grown up. So I guess it's your choice whether you want to stay young or grow up, or whatever you choose to do. Well, he grew up, he had this beautiful blonde hair that he kept so perfect. He would comb it like every 5 seconds, and he was like, he had a nice physique, and he looked wonderful, and Donna, the mother, was, you know, saying to me, she could believe it, because that's the way he was when he was 13 or 12 years old when he passed away.
Uh-huh.
And then he said something to me, and I said, I can't repeat that to your mother. And he says, well, you have to, because I always ask the spirit, you have to give me one thing that is only she, the sitter, that would know positive that it was you.
Yeah, that'd be proof to them.
So that would be proof to them that this is what's going on, because I have to prove it to myself too, but I have to prove it to them. And so he said to me, well, tell my mother that her breasts look beautiful. And I'm like, what? And I was arguing with spirit, you know, in my mind to them, and I'm like, I can't do that. And he turned around. I said, okay, I'll do it. And she was crying, because she said it was only she and her husband who knew that she had had her breast done. And I said, well, Nicholas knows too. But that was just so that it was a confirmation that she knew that it was him coming through. And so, you know, she has gotten a lot of peace in the last 10 years getting these readings, because she feels comfortable that he is alive and that he is someplace, and that one day they'll all get together again and they'll be together as a family.
Yes.
And,
uh-huh.
You know, so that's the...
They are doing things over there.
Absolutely. They're doing things over there, and they're having that peace, and you know, oh, there's so much to do over there that... You know, and there is no time. So, like, what we consider 80 years could be...
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. My other phone went dead. So, you know, what we can consider, like, 80 years here could be one day there, because there's no time over there. So, you know, life is just... It's so beautiful there. When
you're fading away. Can you talk louder again?
Yeah. So it's just so beautiful over there that...
Yeah, because that's what I've been told. They say, oh, they'll be here in a blink of an eye.
Right.
Because to them, it is just a moment or in time.
Exactly.
Over there, where we think it's much longer.
When people
have... But some people say, well, will they wait for me till I get over there? If it's a loved one. And I said, well, it's going to depend on what their plans are.
Exactly. And most times, you know, like I said, for them over in the other space, there is no time. So if we're living 80 years, for them it's a blink of an eye. So more than likely they will be there, but they're not going to hang out with you forever.
No, may decide there was some other reason to come back, and
exactly,
they may not be there. But it's up to them what their plans are. Also.
Exactly. You've have a book out that the person passed away in childbirth, and right, and the person was born. He was a year younger than his mother.
Yeah. I've had a few cases where the child would die and then it would come back into the same family.
Right, exactly. So,
but
I mean,
it doesn't always happen, but it's a possibility.
I mean, most times, because I've asked this question before to my spirit guides, most time people wait hundreds, maybe even thousands of years before reincarnating. It all depends on what they want to do.
And they have to get all of the people in the right places at the same time.
Exactly, because they might feel comfortable where they are. I learned all my lessons and made all my forgiving and did all my stuff, and I'm going to go there and play.
Yeah, enjoy themselves.
Exactly, because it is so beautiful there. It is pure love, pure happiness, no pain.
Uh-huh.
That's why when people have near-death experiences, they don't want to come back sometimes.
Yes, because they get a glimpse of what it was like.
Right.
And another thing I found in my work, there is no hell.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you brought that out, because there is no hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've always been led to believe that there was, but there is no hell, because if there was, there would be nobody in really heaven, if you want to consider it heaven. I call it the other side or another dimension.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because everyone has done something that is wrong, considering what we were raised to believe that we would go to hell for.
Yeah, and all the sins and all
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
And I know, and I was doing my work from the Jesus book, Jesus never knew a sinner.
To
him, there were no sinners. And
because,
then, of course, we all make mistakes. But
right.
If we did that and was going to hell for it, everybody'd be there.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Jesus, you know, because I talk to him all the time, he didn't come to the earth plane to teach religion.
Uh-huh.
He came to teach love and forgiveness. And
yes, that's what I found, too.
Yeah, and that was
like, if there was love, there would be no violence, there would be no wars.
It would just be wonderful peace.
That's the main thing he's trying to tell people.
That's exactly right, and that's why he chooses people like us, like you, like all the light workers, to get the message out there that he came to teach us love, to love each other, to love ourselves, because if we don't love ourselves first, we can't love anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So
the idea of hell was just a fear-based thing.
To
scare people into doing what they wanted them to do.
Right. Well, I think hopefully people are now catching on that was just all for being fear-based to control us,
mm-hmm.
because I hope that people understand that God would never create a hell to put his children in.
Yeah.
I mean, why would he? Why would my father, who created me out of love, and because I made a mistake of maybe being nasty to my parents at one point when I was a kid, and now I'm going to go to hell the rest of my eternity? And if I don't, I mean, God forgives all.
Mm-hmm.
He forgives everything. All you have to do is say, God forgive, and he forgives. He's a forgiving person.
That's what I always say. Would you, as a parent, throw your child in the oven if
exactly.
he did something wrong?
God is
the same way. He creates us, and he lets us make mistake after mistake after mistake.
Absolutely. And you see how it can become, how easy it is to really play the game. You just got to figure out that there is no errors. There is no mistake. So if you choose, if I got pregnant and I choose to have an abortion, it's my body. It's my life. I choose to do it, and I have free will to do it. And if God is not going to punish me, if I choose to punish myself, it's me punishing me.
Yeah, and I found out that the spirit who was going to be that baby, if you have the abortion, it just says, okay, I'll catch you the next time.
Exactly. And
if
most
people... you're grown up enough, maybe more mature, and then you'll be want me then.
Exactly right, because I've done a lot of readings on people that have had abortions, and the soul of the child that they have now is the soul of the baby that was aborted. So
mm-hmm.
they still have the same soul, and it's the same child. It's just that they was the parents were smart. They can't take care of a baby sometimes at 15 or 16 years old.
Yeah, and they've had time to mature, and they
exactly.
have learned a great lesson from this.
Exactly. And
hopefully, and then by the time they do have the child, they're able to take care of it.
That's exactly right. And I think that's why I always believe that, you know, you do what you feel right for yourself, because nobody should be able to tell you how to run your life. I mean, I know as a parent, we raise our children, we give them the foundation. But when they become adults, you know, that's what they got to learn. This is all part, you know, we could tell them, well, you know, if you put your hand on that fire, you're going to get burned. But you know what they're going to do? They're still going to put their hand on the fire.
Just to test you to find out if you're telling the truth.
or to see if it really is the truth that they're going to get burned, because they got to learn on their own. Because you could tell them every single thing that you've experienced in your lifetime, because they're going to go through it themselves. But they got to go through it. They have to walk it.
Uh-huh.
Because if they don't, then they don't truly get the experience. And that's what you need with this life. You need the experience. You need the emotions. You need to feel everything that you need to feel, or you don't gain it.
Well, so that was what happened in one of my sessions. They said, don't take your children's lessons away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have a tendency, we want to protect our children. We don't want them to make the same mistakes we did.
That's right.
But they said, don't take your children's lessons away from them.
Right. Well, we're very good at becoming enablers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, we enable people to do what they're supposed to do, and we enable our children to grow up and to stand on their own two feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to learn that in this world.
Because they're not going to learn anything if we're doing everything for them.
Exactly. And whatever they've done, you know, we learn to forgive, we learn to love, we learn to get on with our lives. It's all part of life. There's not one family on the earth plane that's not dysfunctional. And that's what we learn from. We learn from the dysfunctional. Because if there was a family that wasn't, then they're not growing. So it's in the dysfunctional that we learn.
Yeah, because we do all make mistakes. We just
say,
well, if you're smart enough, you'll say, I'm not going to do that again.
Of course. And if you do it again, you'll notice how it happens. If you're wiser to it, if you're clearer, you'll say to yourself, oh, my God, that happened again.
Yeah, and
then,
it will until you learn the lesson.
Exactly. It will keep happening until you learn the lesson. And then it'll never happen again. But they'll test you on it. And just to see if you learned. And then it'll go away forever. So I always tell people, you know, try it out. You know, try it out and see. Don't take my word for it. Try it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell people, if you believe in saints, ask the saint for something, a rose or something in, you know, so that you, and they get it, and they call me up and they're like, I received it. I said, you sound shocked. Why wouldn't you receive it? You know, they send you things because they want you to know that they're real.
Yeah.
You know, just as Jesus,
I tell people,
you know,
well, you know, if you learn that lesson, you get it out of there. Then you go on to the next one, which may or may not be better. You don't know, but
that's
at least
right.
You're going on to something
and
else.
And then when you finally learned every lesson you came here to learn, then you'll pass over.
And then you don't have to come back anymore if you've learned everything.
Exactly. So there should really be a celebration of a passing because that person has graduated.
Uh-huh.
You know, because this is like almost like elementary school.
Oh, it is. It's kindergarten in a lot of ways.
Exactly. And we just, you know, we graduate and we go to the next level. And then we learn in that level and we graduate. And we keep growing. There's no stoppage of growth.
Uh-huh. And it's just like we eventually end up in college. And even
then,
we have to go on. To me, learning and knowledge is so important.
Oh, God. Knowledge is the best thing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I always try to tell people, like, with different things that came out, like the Da Vinci Code came out and all this, and people say things, you know, that this, that, and everything. I said, listen, if you're bothered by something, then try to look it up, try to learn from it, try to investigate it. Because Jesus always says, when something pushes your button, investigate it.
Yeah.
Look into it. See why you're bothered by it. You know, so if it bothers you, look, you know, seek out a mess, you know, the answers for it, because that's what you're meant to do.
That's what I tell people. I said, don't believe what I say or what anybody else says. I said, ask lots and lots of questions, read a lot of things, then make up your own mind.
Absolutely, because
and
even though
your truth may not be my truth, but it will be something that you've arrived at on your own.
Right. I'm glad
you said
that.
Don't give your power away to anyone.
Right.
Make up your own mind.
Because I'm glad you said that, Dolores, because that's very important. Even though I am a medium and I can give people answers, I have to let them make their own choices.
Yes, otherwise we can't. We take away free will.
That's right. Because, say they come to me and they are pregnant and they say to me, well, should I have the baby or should I have an abortion? Well, I'm not going to make your mind up for you. Because
that's a bigger responsibility to put on you anyway.
Exactly. You know, they have to make their mind up for themselves. I said, because that's not my place to tell you to do it. Then they'll say, well, you told me to do it. You have to.
Yeah, you'll come back on you. That's what they'll say.
Yeah. You have to go inside yourself. It's so simple. It's so easy. You meditate. Go into, be quiet, sit still, and listen. Because meditation is listening.
They say prayer is asking the questions.
Exactly.
Meditation is listening for the answers.
Right. And everybody can do it. Every single person can do it. But they doubt it. And once you throw doubt into anything, then you can lose that. So they shouldn't doubt it, because everybody has the ability to do this. They just and if they can't meditate on their own, go buy a tape in the bookstore and put a tape on, and listen to the tape.
You ask for some kind of a sign, and they'll get that.
Exactly, and they'll get the sign, because I've asked for it several times, and I've gotten the sign all the time. And I know it to be true, because I question myself all the time. Because doing readings for people is a hard job, because you have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And like one woman came in, and I do a lot of work with Edgar Casey, and I think maybe the listeners will know who Edgar Casey is. He was a psychic in the 20s and 30s and 40s.
Yeah, and he was the ARE was founded on his writings.
Yes,
sessions.
14,000 readings, and mostly on health.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a doctor. And he came through one day, and he's been with me ever since. So I basically, he answers all the health questions on the people.
Okay.
And this one lady came one day, and before she even sat in the chair, he turns around to me and says to me, well, she needs a hysterectomy, and she needs her bladder repaired, and she needs her rectum repaired. And I said to him, but wait a second. I said, I can't tell this woman to go have surgery. And he said, yes, she can. She needs it.
Huh.
And I'm fighting with him, which I always do. And I think I'm probably the only person that fights with spirit.
Uh-huh.
And so finally I said to her, I have to tell you this. And I told her, and she said, oh, yeah, I know. I've been putting it off for 10 years.
10 years.
10 years, and all three things. She left his house in the afternoon, went back home, called her doctor, and made the appointment for having the operation. And she had it done. And I, you know, and that's where the scary part comes in, because, you know, you have to be so careful in that, you know, you don't overstep your bounds.
Yeah,
you know,
you can make someone angry too, you know.
Right. But he came through so clearly, and he said, this is what she needs. And then I had one reading that scared the living daylights out of me, I tell you, because in the very beginning, not in the very beginning, but about 10 years ago, I was able to, I'm able to hear people on the other side. I can smell them. I can see them. I can feel the way they passed over. And that's
yeah.
the scary part. This one person came in, and his name was Michael. And I don't allow spirits from the other side to touch me. Because
oh.
when they touch me, I feel the way they die.
Oh.
And it goes into my body, and I actually feel it. So he got close enough to me and touched me, and I grabbed my neck with my two hands, and I took, like, what I thought was, like, that last gulp of breath before you pass away.
Yeah.
And I literally could feel almost liquid coming out of my neck. And the sitter was the sister, and she's crying already. And I said, oh, my God, what is going on here? And she said, my brother, who you got, Michael was his name. He came through. I knew it right away. She said he was murdered. His neck was sliced.
Oh.
But I felt the neck being cut. And I literally felt almost liquid coming out of my neck.
Ooh.
And I had said to Michael, I said, did you have to do that to me? I said, couldn't you just tell me? And then, like 2 minutes later, his other brother comes through, and he was happy. He was really, really happy. And I said, oh, yeah, the other brother's here, and he's gay. You know, meaning gay as in happy. And she said, yeah, he was gay. And she meant gay as in sexual.
Yeah.
But that's the way he showed it to me.
Uh-huh.
And then another one came through. The sister came through. They had four siblings, and all three passed away. She was the only one alive.
Uh-huh.
And she had passed away from an overdose. But they came through in different parts of the room. And I said, wow, this is so funny. I said, they're all over the place. Why aren't they together? And she said they never talked in real life.
Oh.
So what they did was they brought their hatred to the other side.
That's not good.
And so they did not talk to each other on the earth plane. They did not forgive each other on the earth plane. They took it with them to the next level. So you see, they have to work it out on the next level.
Or they'll have to come back again.
Or they'll have to come back again.
All of them in different roles or whatever.
Right. And that's why we talk about forgiveness. He was the one. Michael was the one. The person that passed over that taught me about the forgiveness part of life, because he wished that he did forgive them before he left the earth plane, because it would have been easier for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I there was this other reading I did one time that this one scared me too, because this man came through. I had the woman here. She was the daughter. And this man came through who was the father. And all of a sudden, I'm watching him from, you know, my third eye, and I see him take a scissor out, and he cut off his tongue.
Wow.
And I'm saying to myself, and I'm sitting there saying, don't do that. What are you doing? Don't do that. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so the lady's sitting there going, what's going on? And I'm like, I can't believe it. I said, your father just cut his tongue out. And she says to me, yeah, well, my father was abusive to me verbally.
Ah.
So said,
it was symbolism?
Yeah, it was symbolism, but he was actually punishing himself.
Ah.
Because he didn't forgive himself, and nor did his daughter forgive him up until that day.
But it was symbolism of what he had done, really.
Exactly. It was symbolism, but then also he said to me, I'm doing this because I punished her in her life. Now I'm going to punish myself too. And I said, well, you don't have to. You don't have to punish yourself. You didn't have to go this far. All you have to do is forgive each other.
Yeah.
So, of course, obviously, we had these type of people come back. Like, I don't like to do them but once a year, because then I feel like it's too much for them, and then they depend on it.
Oh, so, yeah, people do. They get to want you to solve all
exactly.
the problems.
And so she came back, and we work on forgiving. We work on forgiving the father. And I've seen them turn into snakes, turn into different things because of the symbolism.
Yeah, the symbolism, whatever. And then usually the person you're reading for will understand what the symbolism means.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this woman did understand what the cutting of the tongue was.
Yeah.
Because he you know, his karma was truly immense, and he had a lot to work on. I mean, and that was just one part of a lot of stuff that he had to work on. Cause
I dread to think what he's going to have to go through when he comes back.
A lot.
Well, Joanne, I have to stop 5 minutes before the hour. Before we go off, people always say, boy, that was a fast hour.
That is a fast hour.
But before we leave, let people know how they can get in touch with you, or if you have a website, anything that they can communicate with you.
Well, I have an email if people want to email me. That's wolflady@aol.com, wolflady as in one word.
Or like the animal, W-O-L-F, isn't it?
Yes.
Wolflady@aol.com. Okay. Then they want to contact you or get a hold of you.
They could call me at my home phone number if you want me to give that out.
Well, if you're willing to.
Sure, that would be fine.
Okay, go ahead and give it out.
Okay. It's area code 516-420-8767. And I just want to tell people to be patient, because I get a lot of phone calls every day, and that if they leave a message, I will get back to them.
Okay, say the number again.
Okay, area code 516-420-8767.
Okay. And a lot of people don't want to give out their home phones, but you do this regularly, so you don't mind.
Oh, I do it all the time, and I get lots of phone calls. Like I said, there's about I have a long waiting list, but I will get back to them, and I could read on the from the phone. So
okay.
Even if they're in a distance, I could do it over the phone.
Okay. Then I just want to give out my website and number, and then I have to sign off.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you, Dolores. I had a great time.
Okay, and my website is www.OzarkMountain, and that's abbreviated, OzarkMT.com. And the number is 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. All right. Good night till next time.
Good night, Dolores. Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.